You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Garden Report is powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to the Garden Report with Noah Dalzell from Celtics Blog. One of my favorite games to watch all season, back and forth for the last 5 minutes of regulation. And then DeJounte Murray, after a Jaylen Brown go-ahead two-pointer from the elbow, hits a mid-ranger of his own for the win with 0.1 left. And the Hawks sweep the Celtics in this mini-series with a game in between, whatever this is down here in Atlanta. Celtics on to New Orleans for two more games on this road trip. Big wins for the Hawks here, 30-point comeback in the first one with guys out. Celtics start their starters for the first time in 3 weeks with Drew Holiday back in this one. And build an 8-point lead early, gets tight after that. This was one of the few games all year where the Celtics haven't had a double-digit lead. So they were playing shot for shot with DeJounte Murray throughout this game. Offensive rebounding, a major issue, I believe 17 for Atlanta throughout this one. They get one at the end of regulation to tie it and forces Jason Tatum into a long isolation. Hawks foul, and then they toss up a three that had no chance on an ensuing play with a couple seconds left. Go to overtime. Jaylen gets his shot off on a different approach down one. And then Murray gets one over Holiday, and just an incredible performance for DeJounte Murray. So where do you go first with this one, Noah?
I think one thing I liked about it is that we, and I know Joe said after the game that there was a real reason for why he switched up the play call between the end of regulation and the end of overtime. But ultimately, the end of overtime, we saw what a set can look like. You know, I liked the fact that Kristaps Porzingis had the ball in the post. I liked the fact that that collapsed the defense and that gave Jaylen Brown a shot that was in rhythm. It was still a tough shot, and like they make tough shots all the time. But I liked that. I liked that we saw that it executed, and actually, you know, that could have been the story tonight. You know, Jaylen Brown makes the game winner. This was the play. You know, DeJounte Murray, you know, if that DeJounte Murray's last shot hadn't gone in. So from that sense, I liked it. I do think that they seemed at points tonight to make mistakes that they just haven't been making through their win streaks. Defensively, there were some mistakes. I feel like they just weren't as sharp, and part of that might just be the starting five playing together that, you know, they haven't had that type of, you know, extensive run for a long time now. I'm not personally really concerned about it. I think that there's going to be a stretch during the season where they're going to lose focus, and we're seeing it right now. You'd like to see them bounce back from it, you know, in the next few games here. But I think that last shot in regulation was kind of a culmination of everything we don't want to see, of just that isolation, the tough corner three fadeaway. So I think there's things from it that are definitely a little bit alarming, but for the most part, I think this is just one of those games that we have to expect at this point in the season.
Yeah, that's the overlap with Monday, two completely different games. But crunch time finishes, one-point game in the final minute. In each of them, Celtics fall to 4-8 in those situations. They're now 2-7 in one-point games in the final 10 seconds. So crunch time, a real topic of discussion tonight, as well as a potential issue for this team come playoff time. There's going to be close games. There's going to be games where you have to play through physicality, as Joe Mazzulla said about those situations tonight. And when it's come down to the last shot, the final 10 seconds, Jason Tatum's often been the one to take it this year. He's now 2-8 in the final minute of one-point games and 1-6 in the final 10 seconds this year. Here's him assessing his performance in those situations this year.
How do you feel like you fared in those spots this year, those last shots to, you know, go ahead, tie a game, you know, down one, down two? Where do you feel like you're at in running those sets?
Yeah, I mean, I know I missed a couple this year. So it was like, damn, I gotta be due for one. I hit a bunch of them in my career so far, but, you know, it's part of it, make or miss league. But I really do enjoy being in those situations.
The one to end overtime, you go through KP in the post, Jaylen ends up getting that one off. How'd that play come together, and, you know, just taking a different approach there, do you think that was beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, we had four different options. D-White threw it to KP. We just know whoever got it, we wanted to go quick. As soon as KP caught it, I just ran down. I thought he was about to shoot it so I could try to get the offensive rebound. And, you know, JB made a big shot. So, you know, Joe just drew up a play. We had four or five different options, and KP just happened to be the first one.
So what to you stands out there? Joe dismissed it on Monday more as shot making. You just got to make shots in those situations. But we've all watched this year. Tatum can be slow, methodical, and take tough spots in those shots. And I get the argument in his favor that you got to be able to get a shot off there, and he's the best at doing that. But it was a little bit refreshing, as you said, to see them go through KP. Still a tough shot for Jaylen, but one that's more in his wheelhouse and off a pass. And just with a little bit more movement and action offensively. Tatum said they had a bunch of options on that play. That's what I think people who have a problem with Boston's crunch time, myself included, want to see more of, is just them running their offense in those spots rather than isolation.
Right, and I've seen already some people say that on that end of regulation isolation play that Drew was open for three and that he should have thrown in that pass. And that's not really where I land, because ultimately, like, if, and we've seen this a couple times where he's dribbled the clock down and then with 2 seconds left, he feeds it to like a really contested Sam Howes or someone who's not really ready for it. And you don't want to throw that pass either of a guy that was not expecting the ball, that now is in a really tough position to kind of heave it. So once that play starts, I think you're kind of in a black hole a little bit, where you're going to get a difficult shot. So having someone else have the ball and have him be, he can still take the shot. But I think the key is, and I think a lot of people resonate with this, is just not have him have the ball in his hand the entire possession. Have someone else start with it, like Derek White or Drew Holiday, Porzingis, and then kind of work from there. And we don't have a huge sample off that, so I don't know how it would look, but I do think it would benefit him in the long term. Because I don't think this is like a question about him being clutch. I don't think it's about him not being a good performer down the stretch. We know he has a really good record of that in his career. The shots that he's taking are like very low percentage shots that most superstars in this league are not going to hit at a consistent level.
They don't give you a chance. And I think, I don't know right. If this was specifically the case tonight, and that's what Joe was talking about when we asked why they went in a different direction in the overtime one. And he talked about score. He talked about time on the clock. And I get it. You don't want to give the Hawks a chance to shoot in a tie game going the other way. But you see what happens when you just drain all the clock off is they can foul, and they did. And then there's less time for the ensuing play. And it got screwed up. They blew it up. It looked like that Cavs Jared Allen play with Tatum in the backcourt. So I like the setup of it, but there's just not enough time. They don't give themselves a chance for an offensive rebound there with how slow they move. And this is where you look at Joe in that situation. I love what he set up to end overtime, and that's out of a timeout. That's his imprint there, a good play design with multiple options. In the flow of the game, especially when he doesn't call timeouts in those spots, that's where I think people get frustrated too, is it's like, call a timeout, drop a creative play in that spot that's not as predictable, and then you don't have Tatum going as slow in that spot. And I get it. You don't want the Hawks going the other way if you shoot too early there, but there's a balance, and that I don't think they strike. And I know it's a small sample size, but I think the results, 4-8, in the final minute, 2-7 in the final 10 seconds, do speak to them needing some improvement in that spot.
And I don't think it's just exclusive to the Celtics either. Like, when I watch League Pass and I see Jimmy Butler, how many times have we seen Jimmy Butler pull up for like a deep contested two that's not his shot and miss at the end of games?
Right.
Like, this, I think it's a little bit of the over analytics of the game too, of knowing you definitely don't want to give the other team the shot. Like, you watch college basketball, people will take the shot if there's 4 seconds left, you know? You watch the WNBA, people will take the shots when there's four seconds left, even if that means there's another possession.
Remember the Derek White shot? Right, I know they were losing there, but.
But I think in the NBA, there's like a little bit of an obsession with that sometimes makes people take shots that are just really low quality shots that some people can hit at a really high clip, but most stars can't. And I think that's what we're seeing a little bit time and again here this season.
Well, we will see where this adjustment goes. I do think it was a good night of progress to get that shot at the end of overtime that they did for Brown there. Murray just hits a big one the other way. 45 shots for him. He carried the Hawks tonight. An incredible week from him and some other Hawks here as they're getting their feet under them. A potential first-round opponent for the Celtics as well. We're going to talk to Kevin Kennard in just a minute here about them as that potential first-round opponent and his thoughts about this mini-series they played here. But for Noah, that's it for us in Atlanta here. Check out her work at CelticsBlog.com. Check out Kevin Hitt on Celtics All Access and all the post-game reaction from Jaylen, Jason, Drew, and Joe on CLNS Media. For the Garn Report, CLNS Media, I'm Bobby Manning. The Hawks Win both games down here. Second one, 123 to 122 over the Celtics.
Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.